The following podcast is not safe for work and is for adults only. Thanks for listening.
Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour, and this week on the podcast, we have a story from Best of Body Storytelling winner, Kent Whipple. And also, we've got a ton of good news. But first, I need to tell you about the next Body Storytelling live stream, because this one is a really big deal. Our next live stream is going to be on Sunday, September 27th. 7 p.m. Pacific time. And if you are listening to this episode on the day that it comes out, on Wednesday, September 15th, you should know that today is the last day to order the Exhibitionist Package. What do you get with the Exhibitionist Package? Well, I'm so glad you asked. You have your choice between the Dixie face mask. It's a cartoon of me holding up a butt plug. It's a piece of art from Mark Steven Inman, and it is gorgeous. I love it so much. You can walk around with my face and a butt plug on your face and stay safe from COVID. You can have a custom body storytelling butt plug. Comes with a little black velvet butt plug cozy. And with either of those, you'll get a body storytelling sticker. Can't get that anywhere else. You can have a body storytelling button. And you get a full-size bottle of Uberlube. That's just the gifts. You also get to be a panelist on the show, which means that you can be there with the performers. You can watch the other exhibitionists. You can have private conversations. You can have chats with the performers if you'd like. It's really where the action is. But remember, you have to order your Exhibitionist Package by Wednesday, September 15th. That's today. So get on it. Order it as soon as you can. We got to get those things in the mail to you. And remember, the live stream is going to be on Sunday, September 27th. That is the day of Folsom Street Fair. So after a day of watching the legendary Margaret Cho host Folsom Street Fair digitally, so you can watch it wherever you are, you can tune in at 7 p.m. Pacific to watch the official after party. And that is the Body Storytelling live stream. Please join us. I'd love to have you there. How's your week going? You know, I pretty much have nothing but great news to tell you about this week. This portion of the podcast is called the Dixie Ramble, and it's where I talk about what's going on in my life. I want to give you a respite from politics and the negativity that's on social media, because storytelling is uplifting and it connects us, and I'd like to have it be a positive experience. We did have a really scary day last week where the sun didn't come out at all in San Francisco, and the sky was so orange it looked like a movie about Mars. It was pretty scary, but things came back. We're starting to see, well, I haven't seen the sun yet because of the smoke, but it's not orange anymore, and I'm excited about that. Everything else I'd like to talk to you about now is pretty much good news. The other night, I hosted a virtual blowjob contest. Y'all might know that I go to Camp John Waters, which happens in Kent, Connecticut, this time every year. But this year, because of COVID, we could not go to Connecticut. So we decided to have Camp John Waters online. As I am the creator of the blowjob contest, I was in charge of making that happen. I don't know if you've ever tried to host a blowjob contest on Zoom. It is not easy. I will tell you that. First off, because people are so depressed right now, it's really hard to get them to turn their camera on, to engage, to play. And a blowjob contest kind of requires that you participate. Otherwise, it's me talking about blowjobs and it's not a contest at all. After a little confessional about blowjobs and the actual blowjob contest that I fostered back in 2017, we had a few contestants. I made sure, while I told them a story, that they went and they got their bananas and their carrots and their cucumbers and their zucchini or whatever else they were planning to use. And we had 4 participants in the blowjob contest. Everybody else just wanted to watch. It's a blowjob contest. That happens every time. This year for the contest, I said, okay, here we go. I want you to name a blowjob, and I want you to demonstrate a blowjob. This is about creativity more than technique. Our first contestant did the Indian River blowjob. Apparently, the Indian River has a lot of nastiness on either side, and this was a technique where he had a flashlight and a cucumber and went back and forth like he was giving head to 2 different dicks. Our next one was called fruit salad. Fruit salad was, I believe, strawberries, pineapple that were chopped up. She threw that into her mouth. She added about a handful of chopped basil. And then she took this 14-inch long English cucumber where she had carved the end and removed the peeling so it looked like, well, it was the inside of a cucumber, except it was shaped into a beautiful dick head. And she went to town on that dick head with her mouth full of strawberry and pineapple and basil. And pretty soon, she ended up biting off the cucumber and this dribbly mess started pouring down her chin, and it was very entertaining. Then we had the pubic floss, which was an enormous ear of corn with all of the husk peeled down. She started going to town on it and then just proceeded to pick all the corn silk out of her teeth for a good 2 minutes. And finally, a very, very drunk woman said, okay, here we go. And I'm like, wait, first, you have to name your blowjob. And she said, well, I like to call this one the raw egg, uncircumcised cucumber, and vodka blowjob. And I'm like, that is a very long name. Somebody else said, oh, you mean my mother-in-law's quiche. So we named that one my mother-in-law's quiche. She took an egg, a raw egg, and cracked it into her mouth. But she did not keep the shell out. She threw the shell in there too. She took a cucumber. Wait, no, first, she turned up like a handle of vodka and did a very generous pour on top of the egg into her mouth. And then on top of that, she took what she calls an uncircumcised cucumber, but really it was a cucumber in the shape of a horseshoe. There's no way you could deep throat that thing. And she proceeds to throw that around in her mouth with the eggshell, and a whole lot of vodka. It's very messy. I imagine she threw up later on that night. It was fun to watch and kind of made my stomach roil a little bit. The winner of the virtual blowjob contest this year was Bootsy with the fruit salad. I learned a thing or two, and that's what I love about blowjob contest. Next up, let's talk about what I asked you last week. Last week, I told you that a friend had suggested that maybe I could help people with story coaching. Maybe they needed somebody who wasn't judgmental, somebody that they could talk to, who would listen and make them feel less alone right now, and kind of apply my method of story coaching to, I don't want to say therapy. It's not therapy, but it feels like therapy. You feel better afterwards. In fact, I just worked with somebody today for the second time this week, and she is calling it transformational. She says she can't believe how much better she feels after working with me on her story. A lot of you wrote me. Thank you. You wrote to tell me that you thought this was a great idea. Several of you are interested in booking sessions with me. That's to come soon. I'll probably have information on that next week. But mostly you said, Dixie, I want you to take care of yourself. Therapists learn how to protect themselves and protect themselves from the emotional labor of therapy. And the thing you should know is there is a lot of emotional labor in story coaching. In many ways, it's the same thing. And I like feeling useful. and I like feeling like I can help people. So it's not more work for me. It's actually something I feel like I'm very skilled at and I want to do. So I'll probably have an announcement for you next week on the new sort of, it's not life coaching, it's not therapy, but it's something very similar. So if you're looking for someone who can help give you advice, connect you to the right people, listen in a judgment-free way, this might be for you. And I saved the best news for last. Many of you know that my partner's mother has been battling cancer. And it has really been a lot. We have been so worried about her. Bent and his mom are really close. And we have been so concerned. And there's been a number of times lately where she wasn't even able to attend her chemo. They said, your numbers are too low. And I don't know a ton about cancer. Your numbers being too low to have your treatment didn't sound good to me. But they did her tests, and we just found out she has no tumors. She has defeated pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer is serious business. And here's a thing you may not know about her. Pam has defeated three kinds of cancer in her life. She has defeated breast cancer. She has defeated lymphoma. And now she has defeated pancreatic cancer. We're so happy because Pam is an amazing person. I'm so happy that I have her in my life. And I want her around for a long, long time. And when we heard pancreatic cancer, we were so worried and have been so worried. The last trip we took before COVID locked everything down was to see her just in case the news was going to be bad because it's pancreatic cancer. But if that can happen in 2020, anything can happen in 2020, right? That feels like a miracle to me. I'm going to hope that things are going to start turning around now. We're getting closer to the end of this year, and that means we'll be done with 2020 soon, and I'm going to choose to believe that 2021 is going to be better. I'm going to look forward to it. I'm going to count the days, and I'm going to believe that we're going to be on the uphill swing. I hope you'll join me in that, celebrating the good news I've just shared from you, from my life. And if you have good news, please write me, Dixie@bodystorytelling.com, or better yet, send me a voice memo so I can hear your voice. Tell me your good news, because we need some good news right now, and I'd love to hear yours. Do you enjoy challenging yourself with trivia? If the answer is yes, then you need to play Trivia Star. Trivia Star is a free mobile quiz game that's entertaining and challenging. You can choose categories like music, sports, movies, TV, animals, celebrities. If I were to ask you to name a member of the Beatles or New Kids on the Block, could you answer in under 15 seconds? Then you'll love Trivia Star. There are over 60 categories to choose from, so there's always more trivia to explore. If you choose the correct answer from multiple choices and beat the clock, you move on to the next level. The questions get harder over time, but even if you get stuck, don't worry. You can use coins and gems to get a hint and beat the level. And right now, Trivia Star is offering 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play. Just go to the Apple or Google Store and search for Trivia Star. Trivia Star has over 2,000 five-star reviews in the Apple Store. Again, search Trivia Star and enjoy 2,500 coins and 500 gems. Go to the Apple or Google Store and download Trivia Star for free. Join them today. Keep your mind sharp and see if you're smart enough to win. Are you ready for this week's story? I've been saving this one for you. And I want to tell you that the storyteller this week is one of my favorite people. We love to geek out on storytelling together. We are storytelling nerds. So often we get up on a Sunday morning, grab our coffee, get on the phone, and talk about a class we've just taken or a book we've just read. We love to break apart and dissect stories together. I took a workshop last year where I flew to Seattle to sit with him all day long in an auditorium, nerding out on story. And I think you'll find his storytelling chops are right up there. In fact, he's the best. So let me tell you about this week's storyteller. Kent Whipple has shared stories throughout the country. He has participated in many Moth Story Slams, and he won the first Moth Story Slam he ever attended. Plus, he's attended Moth Grand Slams. He was featured in Seattle for the Risk Live Show, and his story, Furry or Foe, was released on the Risk podcast back in 2018. He was again highlighted on Risk in Portland in September 2019. By audience vote, he was named Best of Body Storyteller last year. He is the resident storytelling teacher at Unexpected Productions Improv, where he also hosts Inside Story, a storytelling show, and he's a story coach for Ignite Seattle. Throughout the Pacific Northwest, he has performed at Fresh Ground Stories, the Intersections Festival, the Gay Uncle Time, Do Tell Humorous Storytelling, and yes, at Body Storytelling. This storyteller is Kent Whipple.
So, you know, I can't do this, but I can do this. So I was on the phone with my girlfriend, Rachel, scared to death that my mom was listening on the other line from her bedroom. You see, Rachel was my secret boyfriend named Rick. And I could have been kicked out of the house and disowned for being gay in high school. So Rick became Rachel. It was in 1982, I was a little punk rock kid living with my mom after my parents got divorced. My older siblings moved out and my dad was on the road all the time. So it was just my mom and I. And she used to love that Helen Reddy song, You and Me Against the World. And that kind of became our theme song for a while. She'd say things like, you know, Kent Leslie, we got to look out for each other. And it was pretty good, until it wasn't. She developed quite a drinking problem for an undiagnosed mental health issue. And I was starting to have sex for the first time. A lot of it. But I had to keep it secret because I could be disowned. I mean, I knew I was gay at a real young age. I had a crush on Lee Majors, the $6 million man. You remember him? Yeah. He'd be wearing that velour jogging suit, always with the zipper down showing his chest. And you could see his junk when he was running. But I couldn't be gay. Now, my mom, she was a short little thing. She was about 5'4", 125 pounds soaking wet, bleach blonde hair, red lips, and she'd always be checking out. She'd be watching me. I'm keeping an eye on you. And I'd antagonize her, because I didn't know what to do with the tension that was developing between us. So I started calling her Sherry, her first name. And she hated that. Good morning, Sherry. You just stop that right now, Mr. Big and Independent. Or you just get off your high horse, Little Caesar. I still don't know what that means. But we were in a tiny little two-bedroom apartment in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it was just the two of us. And that must have made her gaydar go off, because she could sense something. And the harder she was trying to find something, the harder I was trying to hide it. So I started calling Rachel, from next door at a Circle K, which had an old school, this is before cell phones, so it was an old school payphone. And I could sneak away and get over there. But she could sense something, so she started cleaning my room. Yeah. She hadn't cleaned my room since I was 6 fucking years old. But all of a sudden, she was cleaning my dresser drawers, or cleaning under the mattress, or cleaning in the closet, ironically. And to make it even weirder, she started listening to all of my calls. I mean, to my friends, to my family, to my dad, because I knew she was there because I could hear the drunken breathing. Or when she'd try to cover the phone, I could hear it ruffle. And she was drunk, so she wasn't even subtle about it. So I was working really hard to hide it. And she'd say things like, oh, well, how's Rachel? When am I going to meet Rachel? And it'd be like, oh, she's got to work. But the tension kept building. And I was sneaking out after she was passing out from drinking her Midori sours. I know. Well, one night, it was a cold winter night, and I didn't want to go to the Circle K because it was cold and windy, the kind of wind that just chills you to the bone. So I decided to wait until Sherry had passed out to call Rick from the apartment. So he and I were on the phone. He called me Tiger. I just loved it. Hey, Tiger, I've been thinking of you. Oh, I know. And he had a beautiful cock. I was dickmatized. But my relationship with him was really the only stability I had in my life, the only normalcy that I had. So one night, I decided to call him, and I thought Mom had passed out. And we were talking like little gay boys, you know, dirty but not raunchy. Mostly like, oh, I want to kiss you. I like your dick. But really, mostly how we both thought each other were really nice and thought each other was super cute. Yeah. Then, on the phone, I could hear Sherry's voice. She hadn't passed out. Boom. She heard it all. My anxiety came instantly. I thought I was gonna have to move out. And she says, "Kid Leslie Whipple, you hang up this phone. We're gonna talk about you being a deviant faggot." And Rick heard it all too. I was mortified. I got off the phone and we fought for hours. She called me a little pansy, I called her a drunk bitch. Hours of fighting that went nowhere and just caused pain. Well, we didn't talk for 2 days in that apartment, and the tension was palpable because I was just waiting for the shoe to drop. Well, on the second day, I came home from school and she was waiting for me. She says, "Get in the car. We're going to take you to a counselor to cure you from being a faggot." Now, I had heard of these doctors that strap electrodes to your dick and shock you if you get hard. Something I'd probably enjoy today. But back then, I was mortified. I was scared to death, and I begged her. I said, "Please don't do this." She goes, "It's either you see a shrink or you move out." So it's late afternoon, we were driving through afternoon traffic, and she was so drunk that we were going through the different lanes, and I didn't think we'd even get to the therapist, and I was actually praying that we would crash. But we didn't. Well, we got to the counselor, and he was a nice guy. He was about 50 years old, looked like a bald Alan Alda. And his office was, you know, it was paneling, 70s paneling, and it smelled like corn nuts for some reason. But no electrodes, just a lot of questions. So I was in there for about 2 hours, and he just did this a lot. Mm-hmm. 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 Well, when we were done, he says, "Can you please wait outside? I need to talk to your mom." And I thought, this is it. Well, I sat there for the 15 longest minutes of my life, waiting to find out what my fate had. Then all of a sudden, Sherry burst through the door. She was pissed. Her face was as red as her lipstick. She says, get to the car. This man's a quack. He's probably a fucking fruit too. Right? So apparently he said that I was doing very well adjusting to my sexual orientation. And he said, I'd like to talk to you about your obvious drinking problem. Finally, I mean, I wasn't the one with the problem. It was her. Well, we never talked about it again. We just went on with this really dysfunctional normalcy. And I went off to college. Every Saturday, I'd call her from the payphone in the laundry room of the dorm. You know, she was a fucking mess, but she was my fucking mess, and I loved her. And I know she loved me. Yeah. But she started saying things. She'd ask these questions that are, like, I guess, pretty normal to ask, but were befuddling to me, like, have you met any hot girls at school? And I was like, I thought we talked about this. Or, I bet you have to beat those co-eds away with a stick. And every call, it got worse and worse, and it made me more upset because I was finally in college. I was me. I could be me. I was part of the gay student union. I was out. And these calls just made me crazy. So I came home for Christmas break, it was a cold, dark night, and my mood was cold and dark, too. And I walked in the door, and there was Mom, drunk, and she stood up and knocked over a lamp. She says, well, there's my lady killer. And I lost it. I said, listen here, you drunk bitch. I'm a fag, a cocksucker, a queer, a homo. Your words, not mine. I'm a fucking faggot. Get that through your drunken head. And I went into my bedroom and slammed the door. The silence was deafening. Well, the next morning, I woke up and I was going to leave. I was ready to go. I didn't know where. But I was a young man and I didn't have to take this shit. And I walked into the kitchen and there was my mom sitting there in her blue pajamas on the kitchen chair, her leg pulled up on the chair with her arm around it, and she'd been crying all night. She'd been up all night. She looked like shit. The room, it smelled of cigarettes and coffee and sadness. And she looks at me and she goes, I remember now. I forgot. I'm sorry. But I remember now. All of the anger that I had just dissipated, and I actually felt sorry for her. She goes, I love you. And I said, I love you too. She goes, you know, I guess we all have our flaws. And I'm like, well, I don't really think it's a flaw. But I knew that was the best I was going to get, and that was okay. Thanks.
Swimming pool of passion, mutual attraction. We both know there is something going on. There is something going on. Didn't wanna start this verse with those three little words, 'cause we both know there is something going on, but I don't wanna play it wrong. So I'm not gonna say it. No, I don't wanna say it. I don't know how you'll take it, so I'ma try not to say it. 'Cause when I've said it in the past, each time it didn't last. So I'ma try not to say it. It feels like I'm Messiah. So I'm putting both hands over my mouth. I can only hope nothing's gonna come out, but there it is on the tip of my tongue.
I think I love you.
I think you're the one. I'm putting both hands over my mouth. I can only hope nothing's gonna come out, but there it is on the tip of my tongue.
I think I love you.
I think you're the one.
No big deal. Explain the now I feel.
That song was Tongue by MNEK. As you know, Patreon is the thing that is getting me through this year. Patreon is the way that since live shows ended, and since I have not been able to produce events, that I have been able to feel that you support and endorse body storytelling. But I really want to give back to you. If you are a supporter on Patreon, I have a bunch of stuff coming up that I think you'd be interested in. If you enjoyed my interview with Race Bannon, where we talked about flagging and the history of flagging a few months ago, I am scheduling some new interviews. I have an interview with a legendary humiliatrix and FinDom, that's financial domination. That's coming up soon. I just scheduled that interview. And I also, this week, am going to be interviewing infamous author Dossie Easton, co-author of The Ethical Slut, which many people refer to as the Bible of polyamory. Not just that. You get free tickets to the live stream, and that includes tickets to the Folsom official after party live stream. You get free live stream replays and much more. So go to patreon.com/body. Support us at whatever level you can. I'll tell you that $10 a month and up will get you live stream tickets, live stream replays, and it'll get you those interviews and more. Thanks in advance for your support. Well, that's our time for this week. But before I go, I want to say thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to podcast producer and live stream technical director, Marty Garcia. Thank you to video archivist and live stream replay. Can I give him a job title like live stream replay director? Because our live streams, the replays of the live streams, live on Patreon. And that is thanks to Joe Moore. Thank you to sound engineer David Grossoff. Thank you to Donal Mooney, who creates our pre-show videos for the live stream. He has been adding brand new stuff to Body and to the live stream that are making me so happy. And finally, thanks to you. Thank you for telling your friends about this podcast. Thank you for making time every week to listen to the episode. And I don't think we'd be getting all these best ofs if it were not for you. I feel like you had a hand in this somehow because, I don't know, Mashable gave us the best of. Oprah Magazine gave us the best of. We just got a big write-up in the London Times. There was an article that just went up, like a two-page article that just went up in Harest in Israel. Our little local show. My little local show feels like it's not so little and local anymore. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. This has been episode 141 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. See you next week.